Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. It picks the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that puss them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. And so we kickstart another week of the Rage. Of course, it's been a difficult weekend as we've lost one of our colleagues here on the grid. I know people are still finding out. It was a shock to me when I found out last night, and I felt like a jackass as I'm tweeting about what a bad beat the Rams was, and oh, that's terrible, and little did I know that, unfortunately, Dave Sharapan had passed away after a long fight, various health issues and battles with cancer. Poor guy got dealt a lot of bad hands, man. He got dealt a lot of bad hands, and, you know, I think, you know, all we can really do is try to take away things from people's lives. Right. And all of us, the best thing, it isn't money, it isn't cars, and oh, I want to bet and stuff like that. The real, like, the legacy of someone's life really is if people miss them after, or, you know, like if they had an impact and you take away something from their life, like something that they did positive that you implement into your life. And we all say it. We all, oh, you know what, I'm gonna appreciate things. I'm gonna do this and that after something like this happens, but we never do. Right. It's just our human nature to immediately sort of retreat back to our own self-interest, our own sort of petty problems, which are seeming large at the time. But, you know, there's a saying out there. Everybody's got 99 problems until they have a serious health problem. Then those other 99 problems don't seem to matter so much. Right. Like, all we really do have is our health here. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's the one thing. Everything else is just like a game of Monopoly. It's all a video game, guys. Like, life is all jobs, money, status. Like, it's in our head. It has no real substance of anything. Yet we get caught up in it, and it matters, and this matters, or jobs and this and that. And like, it's none of it matters. What matters is like how happy you are, how happy you can make other people. There's people with no money that are happier than billionaires and trillionaires, right? So it's really not about money and material goods, and we get caught up in that stuff. I saw a great documentary. It was, you know, I'm poking around and I'm on Netflix and I didn't like anything. I'm like, man, I don't like anything. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch this. I'm poking around and I see something, How to Rob a Bank. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? This kind of interests me. So I look, I'm like, How to Rob a Bank. And it's about a guy. It's like a documentary about this guy. He was called the Hollywood Bank Robber. And he was actually in the Seattle area, but he was called Hollywood because he used to dress in disguises all the time. And I think he robbed like 37 banks or something before they got him. And like every time he would have like something different on. So they really, he was really good at it, like prosthetics. And like, they were like, is this guy like a CIA agent? Like, they really thought he was like some sort of law enforcement, or he had, you know, did he have experience in Hollywood because of the makeup jobs that he had and all this. But he had a couple of accomplices as well, because he started to get bigger and he had to bring a couple of guys in. So the Hollywood guy is dead now. He's gone. But one of his accomplices was there, and he told a story about, like, at the end, there was a big shootout with the cops and stuff, like, out of a movie, like, big shootout, bolt, like, you know what I mean? Like, one of those. He goes, I never wanted this. He goes, I never thought my life would come to this, but there I was in a shootout with, like, the FBI. And he goes, it was at that moment I realized, and it was funny the way he said it. He goes, I got shot by the FBI and I'm in lying, like bleeding in a van. And the bullets went through like the back doors and they hit him and stuff. And he goes, I was lying on a pile of money. He was lying on a pile of like $12 million cash. And they had it all spread out in the back of the van because they were trying to find the tracers in the bills and were throwing the tracers out the window. So they were trying to find these trackers that were attached to the bills. He goes, we had like $12 million spread out on the van, and I'm lying on top of a pile of money getting shot by the cops. And he goes, I looked at the money and thought to myself and realized I did all of this for these stupid pieces of paper. I can't imagine. You're lying on a pile.
You're so
money.
Right.
You're bleeding out. The FBI just like, shot yeah. you.
What's your the money when you're
got
dead?
Shot. Like one of them got killed by the cops. Yeah. He goes, I'm sitting there and I look at the money and he goes, I can't believe I did all of this for like stupid pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And the guy's alive. He's out of jail now. And he basically told people, he goes, money isn't what you think it is, people. Like, that's my moral. That's the story that I'll tell you. He goes, don't do crazy things for money. It's not worth it. Like, it's just paper. And he goes, trust me, I can tell you from experience. And like, these guys were rich. They had all kinds of money. Like, it was just funny when he goes, I got shot for all these stupid pieces of effing paper. Right. And that's all it is. It's a piece of paper. So, you know, I try to put life in perspective. And, you know, the sad thing, though, for me about Dave is he was a people person. You know, some people died, like they hated people. It's like, oh, whatever. They didn't like anybody anyways. They didn't talk to anybody. Dave talked to everybody. Like, he really was like a people person. When I start to get to know him, he used to text me all the time about games, about this. The guy would text me all the time, and I feel like a jerk. He kind of realized I'm not really the texting party friend type guy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like every, you know, five times a day type thing or what? Like, that's not me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I look at my phone for a day. So I think I'm sort of out there. But like, that was him. And there's so many people like at Sports Grid, like that are like, you know, there's the so like Vinny Jr. Like this, he's going to be devastated. Like he told me, oh, I speak to Dave every day about our lives. Like Dave really did have like hundreds of friends. Like, you know what I mean? Like hundreds of friends. Like he talked to everybody about their lives and about that and this. And like, oh, you're coming to Vegas. I'll meet you. And like, very sociable person, which is kind of ironic, isn't it? Like such a happy people person, like gets his life cut short like that. But it's a cold world, man. I always say it literally is. So we've got to appreciate every moment that we have. So we got Mo Card in the house with us, Cam Stewart with us, and I'll throw it to you, Mo. What a crazy NFL Sunday we had yesterday with the Rams and the Eagles field goal being blocked. The Jets block a field goal and return it for a touchdown. Basically, moments after that, bizarro world, Rams ending. We had the Cleveland Browns beat the Green Bay Packers, which we warned everybody about all week long that was going to be a very dangerous game. And but the more things change, some things change stay the same. The New York Giants are the New York Giants and are a clown show, bad news bears operation. But how you doing, Mo?
I am well. Again, guys, I'm so sorry for your loss. You know, I can only imagine how it is going through that process to lose a close friend like that in this industry of ours. But definitely send my prayers and thoughts to his family and to all you guys as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We appreciate it. His family would appreciate it. But yeah, his poor family. He's got like three daughters and he was like close to them too. That's another thing.
Right.
Like he was like that girl dad family, type man. Guy. Yeah. Like super softball dad. Like, man, he drove them all over the country to tournaments and, like, man, these poor girls. Like, the two of them are of college age. In fact, they're playing NCAA baseball, softball now. Like, they're living in New Jersey, ironically enough. But, yeah, just sad stuff, Mo. It happens. Yeah. Time goes, and I can't help but think, like, I was thinking about it. Like, Sid Stevens passed away recently, right, from Sun Youth.
That's correct, yes.
And my guy, Earl DeLaprelle, had already passed away years ago. Just like a lot of end of eras coming, Mo, like we see, right? As we've been around, like a lot of, you know, the end of the eras and like slowly but surely, like, I'm like, yeah, he's gone. Yeah, oh yeah, he's gone. I started to think about that when I saw Sid Steam. I'm like, man, like Montreal will never be the same. Like those two are just such a big part of like, of, you know, they were Sun Youth. Just sad stuff, man. But, you know, we're not here forever, right? That's the whole thing. We think we are. It feels like we are, but none of us are. And on a lighter note, I have to wonder how much longer Brian Daboll can be there in New York. Like, you know, I brought this up a bit during the show last night. Like, Is he a good coach? Like, what has he shown us that, yeah, you know what? Like, a good example, guys, is Brian Daboll is supposed to be this offensive genius. Their offense is putrid. Like, he's terrible. Like, what's the best thing about the New York Giants? Their defense. Daboll has nothing to do with the defense. Daboll is an offensive guy. So I start to think about Daboll, and okay, like, what has he accomplished? What has he done? He was the offensive coordinator of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Like, my cat could be the OC. Like, seriously, like Biff Pogge said about Michigan when they said, like, great job, coach, when he Biff Pogge. He goes, guys, I have a Labrador. He goes, my Labrador could call plays for Bryce Underwood. He goes, I just stay out of the way. I didn't really do anything. And I like this honesty about it. He goes, anyone could coach this team. I have so much talent. And, okay, so you were the OC at Alabama. Good for you. You were the offensive coordinator for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Has the Bills offense suffered since he's been gone? Okay, so good for you. You were the OC of the Buffalo Bills. You had one good year with the New York Giants. One good year. Daniel Jones is 3-0 and looks like the second coming of Peyton Manning right now. Everybody, like, gets better when they leave you. Like, I'll ask you, Mo, like, why does Brian Daboll even deserve this leeway?
So I was watching the game with a diehard Giants fan, a buddy of mine, last night. And if you remember, there was a 4th-and-1, I think from midfield. And they're chasing the game. They punted.
Oh, you mean the time that he punted and the Kansas City Chiefs marched down the field after and up another 6 minutes? Yeah.
Sure. And my buddy goes, that is an absolutely gutless decision by Brian Daboll. And the Giant fans, as you heard.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We've lost Mo. Mo, get your mic back on. We'll get Mo's audio back. But I did. I was freaking out when they punted Cam at that time too, because I said, "Listen, you're an 0-2 team.
But you got to lose.
You're not just 0-2. You're 0-80 or whatever. Like, it's almost like you never win. You're at home. You never win a big game at home. It's 16-6. You're only down 10." It's 4th-and-2 from, like, the Chiefs 47 or something. Like, how do you punt, bro? Like, you know what I mean? Like, show some balls and just say, you know what? And also, like, if you coach to lose, you're going to lose. So he coaches it safe by, you know, close to the vest, and he ends up losing anyways.
You're absolutely right. And that's the thing. You're the Giants. You're going up against the Chiefs. You could have – they were in this game. That's the whole thing. They were in this football game. And everything they did, they do wrong. They leave points on the board. They don't take chances. And you watch it, Gabe. It's exactly what you say. All these guys that play conservative and do stupid stuff, you know, you're going to lose in the end. And another example, I'm looking at Sean Payton. They got a third and short. The guy's throwing a 50-yard bomb to Sutton. Like, what the hell are you doing? All that you got to do is get a first thing. Down. Like, it's ridiculous.
And I don't know what happened with Mo. Mo was here with us, but
can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we got you, Mo.
Awesome. I'm like the Giants offense right now.
Giants offense. Audible.
You, Mike. I bet you're using something that's made by Apple, but that's another story.
That's
another story. But as far as the Giants are concerned, we saw it with the Raiders. You see it with the Raiders too, Mo.
Yeah.
Like, the Raiders offense, like, number one, Geno Smith is not a good deep passer. Geno Smith's strength is getting rid of the ball quickly and quick kick passing attack. So what do the Raiders have him doing? Dropping back and throwing bombs. Dude, Russell Wilson yesterday in the Giant offense, they kept on throwing the ball deep. You know, like you know what I mean? Be like, yeah, 3rd-and-6. Let's throw it 40 yards down the field. He was throwing these sort of pop fly, just terrible passes. Like, the play, it was like Daboll doesn't understand what he can do or can't do. And the play calling is bad. Their preparation is bad. Like, what's going to change? Like, honestly, like, I, you know, for me, it's just like at some point, and the whole thing is Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they're kind of a package deal, right? They both came from Buffalo together and they've both been there together. yeah, they've drafted some good players, but they've also struck out and swung and missed on a lot of guys. Why do they have like Russell Wilson on the team and Jackson Dart and Jameis Winston? Like, Jameis Winston's never going to play. So you're paying a guy $5 million to do what? That's money that can be spent on another player. Like, they're just a horribly managed team. The ownership is terrible. Like, they're just, it's a clown show, and it always will be. It's funny because I thought, you know, I was like, man, remember, guys, the prop to be the worst team in the National Football League was the New Orleans Saints at like plus 400, the Cleveland Browns at like plus 400. The Saints and Browns were kind of like co-favorites to be the worst team in the league. And the New York Giants were like right there with them. And I was like, nah, Giants won't be that bad. They've got some good players. Yeah, they got good players, but they got a terrible coaching staff. So I actually think Dable should be fired personally. I would not move on with Dable with Jackson Dart. And this is another thing too. So you got a new quarterback now, and it's inevitable. You should just be playing Jackson Dart now, but it's inevitable that Jackson Dart's going to end up being the starter. So let's just say they fire Dable and Dart's got to go through another coaching staff. Like, it's just a disaster. The Giants are a complete clown show organization. It just is what it is. But
full disclosure, I thought the Giants at 5.5 wins. I'm like, I love it. Now I'm like, I'm going back. I already got buyer's remorse. I'm like, how the hell are these guys going to win a football game?
Their schedule is hard too.
Yeah, and their schedule is hard now too. Like, they got to steal some wins, and their defense is doing all they can in the game, and they're always on the field too because of the offensive stupid. Like, that's another thing. The sustained drives, like, even when they have one, it's for nothing. They don't get it. They don't get anything out of it. Then they take chances. I just don't understand the way these guys call plays. And I've known Russell Wilson for a long time too. He's a grinder, but the whole play calling sucks with this team, man. Like, I just don't understand. They're always in games, and they always find ways to screw up games. Cam Scadabo is going to be an absolute stud. We know that when Tracy got hurt. But other than that, there's not much to like. You're right, Renzi. Like, why would you keep Wilson? He's a veteran. He's not going to make you any better. You start Dart, and you just see where you go from there. He's the future.
But to Cam, to your point, though, I think the reason why they kept Russell is because you look at Dable, right? He believes problem is mine. That he's going to probably win more games with Russell Wilson than going through the rookie lean times.
But they're not going to get anywhere with him. Oh, it doesn't matter. What the irony? Worst draft picks, right?
I get it. He's coaching to keep his job, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I'm coaching to keep my job, and I'm going to win some football games here. But I actually think that Jackson Dart will give him every bit as good of a chance, if not a better chance, than Russell Wilson will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, but when do you play him, though, Gabe?
Even though he's inexperienced. Well, it kind of writes itself right now, right? You don't start Jackson Dart this week against the Los Angeles Chargers.
New Orleans?
So you got the Chargers coming to town this week. It's at MetLife Stadium. And bingo. Yeah. Week 5. New York Giants at New Orleans Saints. That's when you drop Jackson Dart in, right? He plays against the Saints. And then after that, you're going to be a bloodbath, though. This is a Giants schedule. They get the Chargers this week. Then they go to New Orleans. Then they host the Philadelphia Eagles. They go to Denver. Then they go to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Then they host the San Francisco 49ers. Like, it's like, honestly, how many games are the Giants going to win this year? Like, one?
Less than five now.
we said last night on the show, like, at best case scenario, they win 3 games. And I'm not sure they win 3, to be honest with you. Like I said, so they host the Chargers. That's a loss. They go to the Saints. Toss up. Like, that's a 50-50 game. Eagles at Giants. Eagles. Giants at Broncos. They're going to lose. Giants at Eagles. They'll lose. 49ers at Giants. They'll lose. Giants at Bears. Kind of, maybe. They would probably lose. Packers at Giants. Giants at Lions. Here's a winnable one. Giants at Patriots. Commanders at Giants. Vikings at Giants. Giants at Raiders. Cowboys and Giants. Like I said, like, if everything falls into play, you know what I mean? It looks like maybe they win three football games. But speaking of a former New York Giant, Mo, what do you think of Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts? I thought they were going to suck. I'll be honest with you. And they still might suck. I don't even know if they're good. Right? Just because, you know, it's one of these deals. There's a few teams that have won games this year. It's like, yeah, I don't really know if you're good or not. Like, you haven't played anybody. It's almost like college, but 3 wins is 3 wins, Mo, right? They're 3-0.
He's the new Kurt Warner when you think about it, right? By the way, the offense has only had one punt through three games in this season. But remember, though, they have
– the Colts are the fastest show on turf now?
They are, right? But, but look, we'll know if they're real when they go to L.A. this week, the Rams, and play at SoFi, right? Now, you're playing a Rams defense, which is very tough. We'll probably force it to punt. But I just think for Daniel Jones to be in that system under Steichen has really evolved his mindset, has improved his gameplay, but
so
also
you're saying Steichen's system is better than Brian Dable's system,
slightly. But let's go back a little bit here, guys. Right, where did Jones go after the Giants? The Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. Who's the head coach? Kevin O'Connell, right? Kevin O'Connell is a quarterback whisperer, and he's done wonders for all quarterbacks that have gone through his system, who has been coached by him. And you have to think that maybe
it's
indirectly,
when you say that, another shot at Dable that Jones took. It was one of those that Daniel Jones said last year that I've learned more in a couple of weeks here being around O'Connell than I have in my entire time in the NFL, which was a serious shot at Dable right there. No, you're right. Sam Darnold said the same thing. He goes, man, there's something about O'Connell, guys, when he sits with you and he shows you film and tape at that. He goes, just do, don't do this and do that. Like, O'Connell knows how to, like, just show people, you know, like, open up their mind, so to speak. And another guy, I'll let you go on, Mo, but McVay was the same thing. Remember, like, Baker Mayfield, that brief little thing around McVay when he won the game for him, walking off the street, in which Baker just said, you know, yeah, I learned a lot from McVay in my limited time around him about what to do as a quarterback. So those are the little intricacies, but they don't really have a ton of talent at all, the Indianapolis Colts, Mo. That's what's surprising about this. It's not just Daniel Jones. Is they don't really have any players, but they're 3-0 right now.
But their defense is pretty good, though. You think about their defense, right, with Lou Anarumo running the show in Indianapolis. They have Franklin as one of the top tacklers, right? That front four is underrated in how they can get to the quarterback, right? And look what they did to Cam Ward yesterday. They flabbergasted and bamboozled him at times here with different looks, and Ward looked like a rookie quarterback yesterday. So I'm just thinking right now for the Colts, right, their bye week comes, I think, in early November. If they beat the Rams in LA next week, guys, then we have to start talking about them being not a contender for the Super Bowl, but definitely being in that conversation to maybe be a team that no one wants to face come December, January, we get to playoff football. And who knows by then what they'll be. But hey, if you're Daniel Jones, if you're the Colts, it's a great storyline because it actually lessens the stress levels because there's a lot of pressure in Indianapolis to get this right because of how many quarterbacks they've gone through the last 6-7 years here. And who knows? Maybe Daniel Jones is that guy for them. But if he is, what a great storyline is for the NFL and for the Colts.
Yeah, it's almost like a Viking story from last year. Although the Vikings have more talent, but right with Sam Darnold, nobody saw it coming. Here with Daniel Jones, we'll give him credit. I'm not buying in. It's still early. But 3 wins is 3 wins. So you know they put themselves in a good spot. But it's still early, and the Tennessee Titans are just—they're a disaster.
Yep.
Like, if there was relegation, it's almost time for relegation for the Titans. Last year, they set a record. They were literally, I don't know, Mo, you're not like a big betting guy, but the Titans were the worst team to bet on in the modern NFL history. Like, since we've been trying, like, they basically go back to 1970 with, like, a lot of the against the spread stuff. There were point spreads before that, but
yeah,
officially, like, you'll notice we're not giving point spreads from 1965 and stuff. They're not on record. So, but 1970 and forward has been tracked. Last year, they played 17 games. They covered twice. So they went 2-15 against the spread. So if you bet on 17 games with the Titans, you won twice and lost 15 times. And that's with the point spread. That's like hard to do. And this year, they're 1-2 against the point spread. But their one cover, they were getting 8.5 points in week one against Denver. And they lost by 8. So it wasn't like, oh, yeah, you played great and you covered. It's like you covered by 0.5 point because Denver were stupid and, like, missed a field, whatever. It was like one of those, all right, you covered by 0.5 point accidentally. Like, they really are right now, Cam, on the longest, worst ATS run in NFL history when you can, you throw in from this year now, from the 2-15 to now – they're 3-17 in their last 20 games.
It's ridiculous, Morency. I don't know, you and Wetzel beat me down on Friday night, but well justified. Like, I thought Tennessee was in a spot, and you told me they're just shit. They suck. Like I expected them and the Colts, everybody getting on, in on the Colts. And it's not like, you know, the Colts did anything special in that game. Just Tennessee self-inflicted wounds. They're just, they're a bad, bad football team and a poorly coached football team too. Callahan, you want to talk about another guy in the list? Horrible pick by me. I thought they could actually win that game against Indiana. I
didn't know the rules in week one.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Gates. That's the right. Guy, like Callahan, you want to talk about a guy where the game has passed him by? Shame on me for thinking Tennessee could actually hang in that game. Horrible pick. Like, that's the whole thing, man. It's just, I thought they'd be a good home dog, but they're that bad. They're, you know what, Gabe, you said it. Like, it's going to take a while for you to hit me over the head with a mallet or put a bullet in me. I'm done. Like, Tennessee, until you show me something like Carolina did late in the season, you're off the list. You bet against them or you just don't touch their games. I'm done.
And just FYI, right? I don't know when the first one will come for the Titans, but they play the Saints week 17, which could be for the first overall pick.
What a game.
They might both be always
that'd be the best.
But here's a question for you. If the Titans get the first overall pick next season, guys, and Arch Manning comes out, what do you do for your Tennessee?
Right? Well, it won't be Arch Manning.
Or not Arch Manning. No way.
If, no one's going to want
if he comes
Manning.
Out. Exactly, no. At this point.
You already drafted. You got Cam Ward. You got to, you know what you got to do? Start building, like, with, like, on the defensive line, on the offensive line, like build a team. Like, who cares about this? These flashy cars. You need like a Corolla, something that can run and get you somewhere instead of the that's going to break down. F1 style. Come on, man.
If you look at that division that they're in too, it's not that hard.
Exactly.
Right? It's not like you're. It's like, man, we've got over. Like, you know, if you got, if you're in the NFC West or something, it's like, man, we got the Rams, the 49ers. Like, it's, there's a bunch of teams you got to pass. This is the AFC South. Like, you can get good quickly. Look at the Colts. Like, you know, look at the Colts suddenly right now. You can win games, but I agree with Cam. If you're the Titans, they just don't have any talent. They should, if I was them, I'd just draft a million defensive linemen and quarterbacks. So just, like, stock up on the defense.
And an offensive lineman.
You know, you can stop other teams and then, you know, just start to win low-scoring games. I think Cam Ward is a good quarterback, but he's not really in a situation where he can show it. They're just so bad that the kid's running for his life. It's a horrible spot, that he's in right now. But I do agree. I think they should go. They should go defense. San Francisco yesterday, find the way. But here's another one. Speaking of ATS stuff, and we told you guys since 1970, Kyler Murray is the best quarterback on the road in the NFL. He's now 27-12 against the spread on the road, guys, which is incredible.
Love it.
Incredible.
That's wild.
Yeah, they lost yesterday, but they were getting 2.5 points, and they lost by 1 point. Yeah, Arizona, Mo, for whatever reason, are a really good road team. Like with Kyler Murray, like they're not that good at home, right? They're actually better on the road, Arizona. And now Arizona go back home, so we'll see. You know, if they can actually back it up. And I'll throw this one to you, Mo. How bad are the Dallas Cowboys? Like, that was just a disaster for them, too. Like,
they reek.
It was,
dude,
over.
You're playing the Chicago Bears. You just get beat up.
They got schooled.
They got, not only got school, Cam, but it was over when CeeDee Lamb went down in that football game. Once he went down, it was a wrap because they had no offensive weapons to work with. But what's even worse for them, guys, right? Their secondary looked atrocious. They made Caleb Williams look like Tom Brady on the football field, the way he was able to dissect that team. Ben Johnson needed this game, and he got it because, you know what? He was toying with the Cowboys defense, going for fourth down.
Think how bad they are. Russell Wilson threw for like 350 yards against him the week before.
Exactly.
But you know, if you're the Cowboys, you need a pass rusher. Oh, you traded that guy to Green Bay. My bad. But the thing is, the Cowboys now, what are they playing for? Are they playing for draft picks right now? They're going to have 4 first-round picks the next 2 years. So you can drop the quarterback if your confidence in Dak has waned. I'm not too sure. So really, for the Cowboys, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place and where they want to be. I think Jerry Jones, being what he is, he's going to be the demise of this franchise, as we know, for the last 30-plus years. But if you're Dallas, there's nothing to look forward to. And if you're going to play for picks, boy, you hope you get that top three pick and get yourself a stud player to work with, because quite frankly, that game against the Bears was textbook and why you shouldn't be a Dallas Cowboys fan of what they went through against the Bears.
One team that cost me yesterday, and I didn't take them outright, but one of those dumb 10-point teasers that, you know, you throw together right before kickoff type of deal. And I won the other two legs of the play, but the Atlanta Falcons. I had Falcons plus 5.5 points. So, like, I, before I bet it, I was like, well, you know, it'll be, you know, maybe the Falcons lose, but if they lose, it'll be a close game. Dude, they lost 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers. And
exactly.
Michael Penix is another one where, you know, it's still early in his career, but he shows you flashes, and then you get these games where he just seems overwhelmed, which is surprising me a little bit. We saw that with J.J. McCarthy. He seemed to be overwhelmed at times, and you know, he only played, you know, seven quarters or whatnot, and he got hurt. So now he's out again. But then you see Carson Wentz comes in here and operates the offense. But do you have your concerns about the Falcons moving forward, Mo, that they're the Falcons? Like, we thought that, yeah, maybe they could be good and be a 9-10 win team, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're just – they are who they are, right? They're just the Atlanta Falcons, and they're going to be a 7 or 8 win team.
I have my concerns on the fact that that coach is not that great for them, right? Raheem Morris is a defensive-minded coach. You need to have an offensive coach to help develop and cultivate that offense. Guys, think about it this way, right? In that game yesterday, you had Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Penix Jr., and Bijan Robinson. Okay, that's four excellent offensive players that can change the game on one play.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
They went up against Carolina Panthers, who had who? The team mascot, and that is it for the Panther offense. And I just think now for the Falcons moving forward here, for what they have to build up and try and get with Penix Jr. as a quarterback, you know, you lose and get skunked by Carolina on the road here. Confidence morale is probably an all-time low moving forward here. And I just think that if they're going to become a force in that NFC South, probably Tampa, probably win that division again, you got to get Bijan Robinson the football and let him do his damage, because there's a reason why he's a top 5 player when it comes to offensive discipline that he has as a football player. And when you don't use him properly, you get exposed. And they got exposed yesterday by the Panther defense.
I agree with you, but it's Morris, a defensive guy, but he's not the offensive coordinator. But I do agree. The Falcons draft, like, you could argue the Falcons have, like, you know, it's definitely top 5. But as far as skill position players and what they have and what they could do, like, there's a lot of OCs that would be drooling if you told them, I'll give you Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts to work with. They would make it work. But they play such a conservative brand of football, right? Like, with that type of lineup and you bring in Penix, you sort of accept, yeah, he's going to throw 2 interceptions a game, but he's going to throw 3 or 4 touchdowns. We're going to air it out. And we'll get Robinson involved in the passing attack. But like you said, they draft players, and then they don't coach games to the players that they have, right? Which is, like I said, it seems to be a theme, like the Raiders.
Their game plan sucked. The Giants. It sucked. Like, Penix shouldn't be throwing the ball. He's throwing the ball 36 times, 18 for 36 with 0 touchdowns, 2 picks. Bijan Robinson was averaging 5.5 yards a carry. What the hell are you doing? You don't need Penix. The whole system with Atlanta is they do everything wrong. Like, you got to establish a run game to give Penix something, and then he could start picking you apart.
They did do it against Minnesota, which,
yes,
which I didn't like because I bet the over, but it was effective for them. And I was on during the game, and I actually said, this isn't pretty, but it's pretty smart by Atlanta. Exactly, Mo. Like, if I was Atlanta, it's like, all right, we're just going to give the ball to Robinson all the time. We'll only really throw when we have to. And it's kind of pointless that you draft these other players, but this, you can win doing this. The problem with that is they don't do it every week. Like, we were talking about this last night with the Falcons. Like, they don't have an offensive identity. Like, every week is different. You know what I mean? Oh, we'll throw it. We'll run it. Like, they don't have something to hang their hat on offense, and it shows. But listen, I like the Falcons over 7.5 wins this year. They'll probably still get there. They're a type of team that'll win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. But this division is all but done for them right now, I would say. And you look at, you know, what Tampa has done. Let's go through the updated odds here, actually, of the for the divisions. The AFC North right now is all but a wrap. The Baltimore Ravens are -500. The Steelers are +550. Bengals 14-1. The Browns 35-1. The NFC North, the Packers are -140. Lions +260. Vikings +450. Bears 20-1. Mo, who do you like in the Lions and the Ravens game tonight?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be high scoring, first of all. I think this game is going to have a lot of explosive plays by both teams here. I think that Detroit does win this football game. I just don't trust the Ravens right now and how they've been playing so far this year. They've been up and down. Their defense has been suspect at times, guys. And you think about Detroit and how, even without Ben Johnson, they have that ability to pull out a trick play and really utilize all their tools on the football field. So I think the Lions do come away with a victory here. And that total of 53.5, I think it is roughly, it'll definitely be on the over by the time it's all said and done at midnight.
Now, sportsbooks let you – they let you parlay the they let you parlay the division title winners. I'm looking at one right now. You, like I said, guys, Baltimore, Cincinnati are not winning without Joe Burrow. Nope. They got lit up yesterday. I think Browning isn't terrible, but either way, like they can't win with Joe Burrow, so they're not going to be able to win without Joe Burrow. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tomlin will do his thing. He's going to end up 9-8. He's going to have a winning record again, but they're not good. They're just sort of there. The Browns aren't winning the division. Like, it's pretty much a stone cold lock, guys, that Baltimore Ravens are going to win that division. And then you look at the NFC South. The Buccaneers are already 3-0 right now, and they own the tiebreak. They already beat the Atlanta Falcons. The Bucs are going to win this division again. The Panthers aren't a threat. The Saints aren't a threat. So all they really got to do is worry about the Atlanta Falcons. And we just talked about it. The Falcons are inept. They're not consistent. Like, they'll look good one week. They'll be bad. Like, when it's all said and done, the Falcons are going to end up like an 8-9 team, 9-8 type of deal. I don't see how this doesn't win. Tampa to win a division and Baltimore to win a division.
Great parlay material. By the way, people don't even understand. Do you see how many guys were out for Tampa Bay? I know it's the Jets. They had key guys out on the offensive line. Their injury report was like, it was like
That's a concern that it catches up to them eventually. Like, they are running out of offensive linemen.
It's true, Gabe, but to win like that and when the Jets blocked the kick and for them and Baker to do that 33-yard run and come back, that's what they do. Like, it's just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are just that grinder team. That I'm with you. I don't think Atlanta, they can't play with them. I think your parlay is that's a great parlay. Baltimore and Tampa Bay.
But not only that though, guys, that schedule sets up well for them. After they play Philly and Seahawks, the Niners and Lions, right?
They could beat Philly.
They can go in Philly and win. And they have Philly's number, guys. Think about what they've done to Philly down in Tampa. But after they go through that 4-game stretch of Detroit, San Fran, Seattle, and the Eagles. That second half schedule sets up well for them. Dolphins, Panthers twice, Falcons, Saints, Cardinals. They could be a 13, if maybe 14 win team if it really breaks for them and be a number one, number two seed in the playoffs in January.
They are the most underrated team and franchise in the National Football League. Like, nobody talks about them. Nobody respects them. Baker is respected in football circles, but the public still, Baker Mayfield. And their coach is like, their coach has won 4 division titles in a row. like, I get it. It's not the toughest division, but they own it. They're tough to play against. They're a dangerous team, and they'll be a tough out in the playoffs. You know, the Buccaneers, to me, they're the type of team, they're capable of winning a playoff game. Like, they could win a game or two in the playoffs. I don't think they make it to the Super Bowl, but I don't want to sell them short. And like you guys just said, they're missing players. They still find ways to win games. You got to tip your cap to them. All right, so college football, guys. I'll admit, Mo, I've got to tap out on the Clemson Tigers now.
But I got to tap out on the Florida Gators to another horrible
thing. I didn't bet on Clemson this week, fortunately. But I didn't bet on them, but no. It's over. It's done. Sorry. Like, Dabo should join. He should join Mike Gundy, actually, on TV next year. It's
tough, my ties with Gundy. That's exactly.
No, but I'm telling you what, with Clemson, everyone says the same thing all the time. He didn't adapt. Okay, to the NIL and the transfer portal, and Dabo stuck in the past, and that's why Clemson doesn't win. That's not true. That's not the reason why. It's not true. Like, Cade Klubnik is like the third pick to be the number one pick in the NFL draft right now. Peter Woods is known as like one of the best, if not the best, defensive tackle. They've got players. It's not players. It's coaching. And we were just talking about Brian Daboll, Mo. Like, it's inexcusable. Like, and yes, should they be more active? Sure, they should be more active and try to get more better players. But do they not have better players than Troy? They were losing 16-0 at the half to Troy last week.
That's right. Yeah.
Do they not have better players than Syracuse?
100%.
Yeah, they do. Better. Yeah, they do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, LSU. All right, LSU have good players. So do Clemson. Like, that was an even game, and they found a way to lose. Like, I'm not saying that, yeah, he shouldn't be more aggressive and modernize a little bit. But to me, it's not even, like, the players. It's the coaching. It's that, why aren't they better? Why aren't you, like, you know what I mean? Like, if Cade Klubnik, like, why aren't you better with the talent that you have? And it's not like, oh, you should have better talent. No, you have good talent. Like the Clemson Tigers guys, we do a lot of draft talk here. They have three players that are projected to be drafted in the first round. That's more than a ton of top 25 teams have.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Like, so once we get to the game, and sort of like the same thing while we were talking about Dable, Dabo Swinney, he coaches like he recruits, like conservative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no aggression. He plays it safe. It's so predictable. You've got the, like, they do need better skill position players. I'm not going to argue that. Like, they need better wide receivers, but so do Michigan. Whatever. It's hard. It is what it is. Like, there's, a, you know, there's about 15, 20 stud wide receiver kids out there, and the rest of everybody's kind of the same. But they're done. Like, this program, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm not saying Dabo gets fired type of deal, but that seat will begin to heaten up. Like, Clemson fans are going to eventually look at Dabo instead of, like, you can't just blame the system. Oh, it's the modern college football. Maybe Dabo just can't adapt to the modern college football game, Mo. And I don't just mean transfer portal and NIL, but play calling, adaptation, the way you coach your kids, right? I mean,
We
see some guys adapt, some guys can't. Gundy cannot. It's over for him, right? You got to move on. Nick Saban said it over the weekend. And he kind of said the same thing. He said, you know, yeah, NIL this and stuff. Then he goes, that's true. But he said, Dabo really hasn't adapted, right? He said he really hasn't adapted to the game. And Nick Saban, if you guys remember, when Nick Saban was at Alabama, he always had, like, new offensive coordinators all the time.
Every second year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, yeah, he would lose them, but he also liked Mo and Cam to have fresh ideas, like new guys with new plays. Like, he wanted new playbooks. And remember Lane Kiffin got hired at Alabama?
That's right.
And they didn't even really like each other. Like, Lane Kiffin said, Saban didn't really even like me, like, before. Like, we weren't buddies. We weren't, like, at all. He goes, I was shocked when I got the call. I was shocked. And Lane told him, listen, coach, I respect you, but if I'm going to do this, like, I need to have, like, rain to call my plays, coach. Like, I'm not going to come work for you and, like, just have you looking over my shoulder. And Saban told him, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And Saban admitted, sometimes, guys, it drove him crazy on the sidelines. Saban said, he goes, sometimes we'd be throwing the ball and my blood would be boiling, like, just sort of like, right, and it'd be on the sideline, but he goes, I told him I was going to let him call the plays, and he goes, and they said, why? It must be tough, coach, like, to do that, and he goes, I need to adapt with the modern game, and he goes, I just don't have that type of thinking that Lane has. Like, Lane thinks in modern football, Cam, about passing and about, like, attacking. Offense, right? Saban's more old school, like, well, I'll run the ball, we'll throw here
Beat
and there.
Him up.
Yeah, but Lane Kiffin basically introduced a modern offense to him. and said, you know, we got to sort of adapt, coach. And like, you know it, Mo, like Scotty Bowman, right, in hockey, he won in different eras, Mo, by adapting to like, yeah, I used to be an asshole and a disciplinarian when I was a younger guy, but that doesn't work now. Like, you need to adapt as a coach, Mo, and Dabo just hasn't adapted.
He's not malleable. You know, he reminds me of Lou Holtz at Notre Dame, right? When the Irish
comparison, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember, because at ND, Holtz kind of waned out in like the mid-90s, right?
That religious rah-rah stuff. It can only go so far.
Right. And I just think that, you know, last week he heard Dabo say, hey, if they're going to fire me, then fire me, right? You know, he kind of challenged Clemson's administration on how the direction of the program is going.
He doesn't want to quit because he has so much money. He wants to get paid.
Exactly. Exactly. But there's no doubt that there's a point now for Clemson that they're going to be at that fork in the road. Is he the guy that will lead the program for the next 10 years? Because to be a college coach for one spot for over 20 years is unthinkable in today's day and age. And he's approached that number, guys. When you think about how many years he's been with Clemson overall. And I think now for them, this is a complete disaster. And
they need
this,
a change, though, Mo. It's one of those things. Like he's there, but it's not getting better. And he's done great things.
Well,
he's going to
set him back. But the longer he stays, the further they fall behind. Right?
But he's just waiting for that buyout, though, guys. Like Mike Gundy's waiting for that buyout. That's what he's waiting for, is that buyout. Because if Alabama fires the board tomorrow and Dabo's available, guess who the first phone call is going to go to? Dabo Swinney, because of his connections to Bama back when he was playing football in the 80s.
Yeah, I don't think they would. They would go
that
route.
I think they would take him because he has that history. They want a guy who understands Alabama football. Yeah, but why not though? Right? It's what it is now. Right? Dabo Swinney is an old archaic coach. Right? He's sort of that microwave coach from back in the 80s. Right now, that's still trying to hang on with that microwave.
TV. I don't think he coaches somewhere else. I think he goes to TV or a lesser tier program. That's what would happen to me. A lesser tier program would kill to have him, but Alabama would know better of understanding sort of the adaptation of modern. And Alabama have a problem sort of in the modern world. And it's not even like, you know what I mean? I'm not criticizing Dabo. The guy's a Hall of Famer. He's a national champion. He's a hell of a coach. But I'm saying it's like, Bo Schembechler from Michigan, you know, he's on me, rest in peace, but like, if Bo Schembechler was alive now, he couldn't coach. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
There's no shame in it. Like, that's why Nick Saban quit, guys. Like, people don't understand that. Like, this is why Nick Saban retired. It wasn't because he was old and he didn't want to coach anymore. They lost to Michigan in the semifinal Rose Bowl game. Nick Saban prepared a big speech to speak to the team, like, 2 days after. Like, they flew back to Alabama and, like, so they had a meeting 2 days after the game type of deal. And Saban had this big speech prepared, he wrote, and it was about coming together and about how next year they were going to go, you know, they were going to get over the top. And, you know, they were a couple of plays away this year, and don't hang your head. We're going to get there and all this type stuff. And he said he walked in the room and they were cranking music and they were all in a very hateful. He goes, I thought they were going to be sad. They were happy. So I walked into the room. Everybody was in a good mood. And he said no one was really upset about the loss. And he said people one by one, they came up to me and basically told me, I got an offer from Texas. I got an offer from LSU. I got an offer for this. How much money are you going to pay me next year? And other guys, can you guarantee me I'm going to start because other schools are going to pay me and I'm going to start? And he basically, he went back home and he told his wife, it's over. It's over. And she goes, what do you mean it's over? And he goes, I can't coach these kids and move forward. And he basically said, like, it's changed, honey. It's over. Like, it's not. That whole coaches in the room, be quiet thing is done, guys. Like,
yep.
You're Nick Saban. Good for you, coach. Like, I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? I'm making, you know, LSU's offering me $3 million if you don't like it. Right? If you don't yell at me. Miami, you know what I mean? You yell at me, okay, fine. I'll go play for the Hurricanes. Cristobal never yells at anybody. Like, type stuff. Like, these kids know stuff now about other coaches. They know they have offers for every school. And Saban said they were more interested in their NIL deals and their own self-interest than the game. He goes, no one even brought up the game. And he goes, I realized I had to move on. So that's like, when I talk about adaptation, that's sort of the thing. Like, know how to coach the modern player and stuff. Like, how do you talk to them? How do you get through to them? But we got some good games. College is starting to get real right now. So let's look at the top 25 board here, and we'll wrap things up. Big games coming up this week. Notre Dame find themselves in a must-win situation for the rest of the season. They've got to win out. They've got to win out. They're going to Arkansas. Arkansas are a good football team. Like, basically, Arkansas, their games are just always going to be crazy and close. Like, yeah, they lost to Memphis. They lost 32-31. The week before, they lost They lost 41-35. I'll tell you what, Mo, Notre Dame are going to have to put some points up on the board because Arkansas can score on anybody.
That they can. You know, watch that Memphis game last week. I mean, they should have ran the Tigers off the football field right until the fourth quarter hit for them. But I just think that Notre Dame...
Sorry, he's another coach they want to fire.
Pittman's going to be gone.
You see, they have talent and they're good, but they find ways to lose games all the time.
Well, two weeks in a row, right? They should be 4-0 when you think about it. But I just think that for Notre Dame right now and where they're at, skill-wise, they're better than the Razorbacks right now on both sides of the football here. I think this game could get very ugly for the Razorbacks at home. And if this ends up being one of those 15-plus point wins for the Irish, Sam Pittman might be fired by Sunday morning and be looking for a new job moving forward here. So I think Notre Dame will cover the point spread, and this might be a blowout by the end of it, guys.
It's an interesting take. It could be close. You're right, and I agree with you as far as the Pittman thing is concerned. Because it's one thing to lose in the SEC, which obviously bothers them, but this is a nationally televised game, right? This is sort of a standalone against Notre Dame.
Yeah,
You're right. Yeah, you're right. If Notre Dame humiliate them, Arkansas boosters won't stand for it. Like, it'll be like, we just got embarrassed by Notre Dame on national television. This has to change. Every time they want to fire him, he wins a game. It's one of those type of deals. And it's like, all right, we'll give him one more year. Not to mention these buyouts, like in like Luke Fickell in Wisconsin. That's blowing up quickly, guys. Like they're
in trouble.
They're bad. Like, it's going to be a long year for them. And they want to fire Fickell, but Fickell's buyout is $25 million.
Yeah, him and Napier have the same buyout, I believe, at 26, like, 27.
Yeah, there's other ones I heard. Who's the other guy? It was $47 million for another one of these guys. Who was it? That's sort of on the hot seat right now. I'm amazed, man, like, that these ADs are dumb enough to give these coaches these buyouts. I'd be like, listen, I'm paying you $8 million a year, Fickell. I'm not giving you $25 million to fire you, okay? Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, God bless them that they get these deals, but it is. It's nuts. So if you're a college coach, you don't even care if you get fired. You're getting you're getting your salary and you're getting this little buyout fee. It's ridiculous, like that Luke Fickell, 25. And Wisconsin are broke. They don't have money. That's why they're going to suck forever. USC and Illinois, Mo.
Good game.
This is a big-time game. Illinois got their ass just lit up by Indiana. I did not see that coming. I did
bet on the game. I got right there, Gabe. What was my other loser pick that went down? Yeah, I just tell you, though, that Indiana team at home, they're lethal. Like, they're real, real good. Like, that offense is just – it's so good.
I like Mendoza. He's going to be a high draft pick, Mendoza. But
yeah,
Illinois are getting 7 points on their home field. This is a very good USC team, Mo. But we're going to find out now that they're playing a more physical team on the road. But USC, I'm surprised to see that they're actually 7-point favorites in this game.
I am a bit, but remember, though, I think there's a lot of people who are a bit disappointed by Illinois. In fact, they lost only by 53 points to Indiana last week. I think that kind of hedges the whole process, how this plays out for them. But I just think now for Illinois, guys, you know, that was my pick back in August when we had this conversation on dark horses. Their margin of error now becomes non-existent, because if they have to lose a game, it was to Ohio State, and they can win every other game. From here on in, Illinois has to win every game, including the Ohio State one, if they're going to be in the playoffs here. But for USC, guys, you know, we've been trashing them for the last few weeks here, right? And whether or not they're a real deal here. This, as Gabe, you made the point last week, right? This could be the first of maybe them.
I haven't been trashing them. I've been betting on them every week, and I've been taking their team total and their first half bets. I've been pro. I've been Mr. USC.
No, that's it. That's what I'm saying. You've been one of the few who have not trashed them. But that's the thing. This could be the stepping stone for them to say, if they win on the road at Illinois against a ranked top 25 team, they could be in that conversation to be in the playoffs by the time we talk about this in December.
Yeah, you know who they play in 3 weeks?
In Notre Dame.
Michigan before.
Right, yeah.
So that's even bigger. Notre Dame's not a conference game for them. Michigan have a bye week this week, and Michigan play Wisconsin after. And so they're going to light Wisconsin up, Michigan, and then Michigan go to L.A. So it'll set up. Michigan will be a 4-1 football team, or a 4-1 football team. USC could be 5-0 in that game, right, at that point. So that's just massive. And then it leads into the Notre Dame game. No, I picked, actually, you know what? I actually told people that USC are a dark horse to make the playoffs this year. I bought in. I think Lincoln Riley's a great coach. Their offense is lethal. Their defense is getting better. They spent a lot of money on the defense, guys. They really have. People don't pay attention to that, but they have hired so many coaches, man. Like, they have, like, former head coaches as DB coaches there now and stuff. Like, they really went hard in the offseason. Like, they really went after defensive guys. The kid they brought in, what's his name? Is it Walker? The kid they brought in from Kentucky. Big, big kid. He's like 330-pound type kid. They brought in a couple of kids from the SEC. Like, they got it. Like, they're definitely bigger on the D-line right now. But even though Illinois got lit up by Indiana, like you said, Cam, Indiana's offense is explosive. So Illinois are still a damn good football team. This will be a good test for USC.
Look at these games, Gabe. We got Oregon and Penn State. Like, this next week's schedule is off the chain. Like, yeah, even Indiana, Iowa, like
LSU,
Ohio State, Washington, LSU, Ole Miss. This is wicked.
This is the first
one. Georgia.
Yeah.
Not elimination, but contender series type of games. And
Separation Saturday.
Yeah. Like, so Ohio State are going to Seattle. The Washington Huskies. Now, I think that 2 years from now, Washington will be in the national championship mix again. Like, they're sort of rebuilding this thing after the championship run, new coach. They lost a lot of players. I don't know if they're not there yet, right? They have a really good young quarterback in Williams. They're not quite there yet, but they get Ohio State this week, and Washington are clicking. Like, they're rolling. Like, they've had a good start to the season. Their offense is clicking. They feel good about themselves. And now they get the number one team in the country, the defending champion, Ohio State Buckeyes, rolling in there to Seattle. Mo, one thing about Seattle and that place, you know, everywhere's loud in all this. You know, it is what it is, but that really is a tough place to play in.
Like, that's Cam, yeah.
Yeah, Cam Ward said it, like, last year, like, after they beat the Gators, when Cam Ward was on the Hurricanes. He goes, all this SEC talk. He goes, Gainesville was nothing next to Washington. And he said, I played a lot of stadiums, and he goes, the Pac-12 was actually the loudest stadiums I've ever been in.
It's like, crazy. It's
loud as hell in that place. They're nuts.
Washington was Washington State was there. Washington outscored them 28-0 in the fourth. Like, that game was tight, and then they just went bam, 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 bam. Like, it was crazy. Like, Gabe, if they play like that, what they did in the fourth quarter to the Cougs, like, it's not going to be easy for Ohio State, man. That's a tough place to play. Washington's a home dog. I'd love to see them cover, but Ohio State, you talk about levels to this stuff, they're very, very good. I wish we were getting more than 8.5.
All right, so we'll blast through them. LSU and Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 2.5-point favorites. Who you got, Bo? LSU or Ole Miss?
Ole Miss.
You'd call it Ole Miss at home.
Ole Miss, yep.
Ohio State, Washington, 8.5. I think, you know, Ohio State are probably going to cover, guys, to be honest. I really want to take Washington here, but I can see it kind of being like a 10-14-point game. What's your pick, Mo?
Give me Washington the points in this situation.
Yes, Mo.
I'll tell you what. The Huskies are going to have a big influence in the Big Ten, guys. Think about the schedule, who they have. USC, Michigan, they got Oregon at the end of the year. They're going to have a big say in who's going to do what in the playoffs by the time we hit December 1.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah, no, they're in the mix. They pull this off. They're way in the mix. It's there. It's right there for them, man. It's right there for them. We got 8.5. Tennessee's at Mississippi State. That's actually a fun football game, but not like a playoff implication type of game. Alabama and Georgia. So they've called the dogs off the boar a little bit because, you know, they stopped the bleeding. They've won. They've covered some point spreads. And you get Georgia. Ooh. Who you have to, you know, man, Georgia 3.5-point favorites in this football game. What's your pick here, Mo?
I think Georgia's going to smash them. And I think the boys come back in the hot seat. Yeah, look, guys, look, remember last year what happened, right? Bama jumped out to like, 28-0 lead against the Bulldogs, and the Bulldogs made a run of it in the fourth quarter. I think now the way it's been built up here for Smart, like this team he has for Georgia may not be a title contending team from, say, 3-4 years ago, but they have the DNA to win these type of matchups here. I think they run Bama off the football field and they win big over the Crimson Tide.
This is a big game for DeBoer. If he can win this, it'll really calm people down.
Yep.
Right. It's one thing to beat up on Troy or Wisconsin or something, but like, you know, to beat Georgia really would, they'd breathe a sigh of relief. And you're right. If he loses, it's going to be right back to the, you know, we got to run this guy out of town.
Bring in Dabo. Deal.
I just don't think, it won't be Dabo, but you know what? That'll just piss off Alabama fans. It really would. Like, you're right, Mo. Before, that was the whole dream, right? Oh, Dabo. That was the thing with Alabama. Yeah. He played there. I get it. But now that ship has sailed, right? They're going to look and they're going to go, what has he done at Clemson? What are you, crazy? Guy doesn't win big games. So, I don't, you know what, though, guys? I've watched a lot of Georgia this year. They're not that good. Then I say that. Like, they're great. But you know what I mean? They're not the Georgia from before.
They're beatable.
Yeah. Like, their quarterback is average. They don't really have great wide receivers. Their defense is really good still, like, but they're kind of just like everybody else.
But that's what they want, though, is a strong defense and an adequate offense. They don't need to score 45 points to win a game, guys. You give them 20, they'll beat you 21-20 at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, because no one else is, you know, they're still as good. Like, they're still as good, Mo, but they're not better than everybody now. Like, for a couple of years, it was like, yeah, these guys are just way better than us. Look what they did to Michigan. Like, they was like, yeah, we cannot. Like, we almost knew going in, like, we're not going to be able to stop these guys. Right? Like, but their skill position players have taken a step back, and there's no disputing it.
But remember, look at the talent roster of how many guys have gone to the NFL the last 4 years, right?
Yeah, from what side of the football?
But most
all
of the defense.
All defense,
right? Except for one or two offensive guys. But it takes time to reload again, guys, especially in the portal world, right? That you think you're going to have a guy for 3 years, they might leave after 3 days.
They've just sort of become this.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me that Georgia can't get stud wide receivers. They don't. Right?
Like, not anymore.
No, like, they're not. Like, they're quarterbacks, bro. It's not ideal for them that they want these 26-year-old, like, kids journeyman guys that to be their quarterbacks. They're not getting the blue chip guys. They had Carson Beck. He left.
Justin Fields.
You know, exactly. So they've, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, the NFL caliber guys, I sort of saw the slip with Clemson. Clemson used to have the CJ Spillers of the world and like these wide receivers and stuff. They're not getting drafted anymore. It catches up. Okay. So Oregon at Penn State. Oh, boy.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oregon are good, man.
I want to take the Ducks here. I'm sorry, man. You're giving me 3.5 with the Ducks.
Here's another one, Cam. Speaking of coaches, like,
yep.
Franklin, yep.
This is a must-win game for Franklin, Mo. Like, if he loses this game, they're just going to be like, man, we already can't beat Michigan. We already can't beat Ohio State. And now we can't beat the Ducks. It's going to be a problem for him. He needs to win this game. Like, Penn State guys, they were in they made it to, you know, they went deep last year. To the semifinal, they were deeper and better this year. Hell, that Phil Steele picked Penn State to win the championship this year. Like, this isn't like, oh, they could win. No, you're supposed to win. Like, the expectation are that you and Ohio State are on a collision course. It's like the best teams in the country type of deal. I don't really buy it, but I'll throw it to you, Mo. The question is, can Dante Moore go on the road? Because this is his first big real road start here.
I think he can. I think this Oregon team, you know, the way Dan Lanning's built up this core base, right, to bring in a Dante Moore to be the quarterback, right? You think about, they went with veteran quarterbacks the last two times. And now here he is, Dante Moore, essentially not a freshman, but a young quarterback in this firestorm going to Happy Valley. I think Oregon comes away with the W, guys, and there'll be more questions about James Franklin being a big-time coach and whether or not that number three ranking is deserved for Penn State if they lose this football game after this weekend.
Yeah, big time games this week, guys. Great week of college football. And even though I'm a diehard Michigan fan, we are off this week. Love the game against Nebraska. Good job, guys.
Great game.
Fundamentals.
Nebraska has now lost 28 consecutive games against top 25 ranked teams. Pretty crazy. But I will say, a team that I have money on, the team that I'm following, big game for Mizzou this week. They host UMass. The tough non-conference schedule continues. Missouri have been getting it done in the games that matter, right? They beat Kansas. It's you look at Missouri, guys. They play a cupcake, then they play a real game. They play a cupcake, then they play a real game. But I bet Missouri over 6.5 wins. We're 4-0 right now. We got UMass this week, 5-0, and then it sets up a massive game on October the 11th, Alabama at Missouri. So Missouri are going to be 5-0 hosting Alabama, and then the week after that they go to Auburn. So you got a 2-week window there. But then they go back, man. Then it's back home. Yeah, it's Texas, it's Vandy, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Missouri are another team, guys. They control their own destiny. They're right in this mix. No one's talking about them. I got them at +400 to make the playoffs. Good job, Cam Stewart. Good job, Mo. Look forward to starting. We'll talk some Canadians hockey soon, Mo. Hockey's around the corner. Preseason has actually started, yeah. Cam. So.
Yeah, Ottawa and Toronto hockey. Already had a brawl game in their first preseason game.
Sunday afternoon,
the crap
baby.
Out of each other.
It's the one good thing I like about hockey. They always play hard, even
only
in the
NHL. Oh. It's like, we hate you. Game one.
Preseason, Ottawa,
pre-season
Toronto.
Brawl.
Oh, you got guys trying to make the team and stuff.
It was awesome. Yes. Fight.
They're trying to make the AHL team. So let the coaches know, hey, remember I punched the leaf in the face for you. Hey, remember
exactly.
That?
Exactly. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Gotta love hockey. All right. Good job, Mo. Good job.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you guys on the Sports Grid Radio television network. Cam, what's your pick for the Raven game and Lions tonight?
I like the Ravens. I'm not going to tell you it was a great week, Morency, other than like my Browns and Carolina, my other dogs. I came on your show. I embarrassed myself betting against the Seahawks with the Saints. I'm a moron. But I just think the Ravens are too much for the Detroit Lions in this game. But to most point, I don't know how there's not points in this game, but I like the Ravens by a touchdown.
I thought the Seahawks were sort of in a mode to blow someone out.
They haven't done it in years, Gabe. And once they went up early in that game, I go, that bets. You know, you say about UFC, I went wrong. And then I go, how do I get in on the Seahawks? Like, I screwed this one up. But they have not beaten a team like that in forever. And I'll tell you, watch out. We talked about Horton, that 6th-round draft pick from Colorado State.
He's a stud,
he's
yeah.
an animal,
yeah.
man. It's a steal. I love mm-hmm. this guy. He was great in the preseason. He has been awesome for Seattle. He'd be a big part for fantasy
massive
guys
game
out there.
Yeah. Thursday, Seattle, Thursday night, Arizona.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's Seattle, pick, Arizona. Mom? Ooh, can't wait.
I'm thinking Seahawks right now. I think the
yeah,
way that
you know it both. Seattle on. Yeah, there we go, baby. Arizona's back at home.
They're a good road team, Seattle.
Yes,
yeah,
they are.
And you mentioned before. Right,
Arizona, Gabe? Yeah, they're better on the road than they are at home, too.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yep, Seahawks.
Weird. So are Seattle. It's these West Coast teams suddenly. They're better on the road.
It's
weird.
It is.
But you're right. Arizona always do that. Arizona, well, they lost this week, but Arizona always win a big game on the road, go back home, and you're like, oh, can they get some momentum going? They're a good team. No. And then they lose at home all the time. All the time. But yeah, we'll break down that game later in the week. Football, we got some great games. Baseball playoffs around the corner. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.